We have been going through the offenses, 10 offenses, one by one, and today we are on offense number 9. Offense number 9. Does anyone know what offense number 9 is? It has to do with faithlessness. All right, I'll paraphrase it. So it says that you shouldn't really preach the glories of the holy name to somebody who's faithless. That's what it means. That. So that's what we're going to talk about today. That's what I was asked to talk about. And don't feel bad that you didn't answer it. I'm not here to test you. If you knew it, fine. If you didn't, no big deal. So, preach to the faithless person about the glories of the holy name. That's offense number 9. Now, based on that, we will take Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, text 40. So if Bhagavad Gita can be given to the devotees. So chapter 4, text 40, if you have it on your cell phone, that's fine. So please repeat. Adyashashadadanascha. Samshayatma vinashati nayam lokoshinaparo nashukam samshayatmana. Anyone can chant? Okay, so please repeat word for word. Agya, a fool who has no knowledge in standard scriptures, cha, and asadadana, without faith in revealed scriptures, cha, also samshaya, of doubts, atma, a person, vinashati, falls back. Na, never. I am in this loka world. Asti, there is. Na, nor. Para, in the next life. Na, not. Sukham, happiness. Sanshaya, doubtful. Atmanah, of the person. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. Please repeat. But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. Purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Out of many standard and authoritative revealed scriptures, the Bhagavad Gita is the best. Persons who are almost like animals have no faith in or knowledge of the standard revealed scriptures. And some, even though they have knowledge of or can cite passages from the revealed scriptures, have actually no faith in these words. And even though others may have faith in scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, they do not believe in or worship the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Such persons cannot have any standing in Krishna consciousness. They fall down. Out of all the above mentioned persons, those who have no faith and are always doubtful make no progress at all. Men without faith in God and His revealed word find no good in this world nor in the next. For them, there is no happiness whatsoever. One should therefore follow the principles of revealed scriptures with faith and thereby be raised to the platform of knowledge. Only this knowledge will help one become promoted to the transcendental platform of spiritual understanding. In other words, doubtful persons have no status whatsoever in spiritual emancipation. One should therefore follow in the footsteps of the great acharyas who are in the disciplic succession and thereby attain success. Om Agina Tibirandasya Jnana Gina Shilakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Sri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadvaitam Sabadvaitam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Shcha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhi Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhibhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sivashari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschatya Deshacharini Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namo Gauravachase Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Imadvya Divacha Vishundaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Rasparaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So here's the translation again. You don't have to repeat after me. But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. So clearly, Krishna is talking about those who have no faith, which ties into the ninth offense. We said we don't preach to a person who is faithless. And the text will explain to you why we don't do that. We don't preach to a faithless person. The translation itself comes right out and says, a faithless person, they doubt the scriptures, they don't attain God consciousness, they fall down, there is no happiness here in the world or the next, so what are you doing preaching to them? It's just that simple. Don't preach to those people who are getting headed for other than spirituality. You waste your time. You may try to give them some Krishna consciousness initially, but if they give you the impression that they're not interested, just about the only thing left to do is to give them prasadam. That's good still. If they'll accept food, they'll accept a snack, but they don't want to hear about God, so then you give them God indirectly and leave them alone, basically. Basically, they're faithless. But as His Holiness Lokanath Swami, one of our esteemed acharyas, said, the prasadam does its work. He put it that way. The prasadam does its work. The mantra also does its work, but the faithless person is not going to chant the mantra. You know that. But at least they will eat. So when they eat, then Krishna's power gets manifested in that person. They may not know. For them, they're just eating food. That means it's just food. But Krishna's mercy will begin to take root. And so at a certain time, which we don't know, maybe this lifetime, two lifetimes, five lifetimes later, that's out of our hands. They will become interested in Krishna consciousness. So you can give that kind of mercy to them for a faithless person. But from the get-go, if you see that they're not interested, don't push it, because they will commit offenses, apparat, and then they have to pay for it later on for committing that. But you actually cause them to commit offenses because you know they were saying something negative. So don't push it and cause them more harm spiritually later on. So that's why we stop. So Srila Prabhupada explained here in the purport, out of many standard and authoritative revealed scriptures, Bhagavad Gita is the best. Persons who are almost like animals have no faith in or knowledge of the standard revealed scriptures. And some, even though they have knowledge of or can cite passages from the revealed scriptures, they still don't have faith in these words. Now, Srila Prabhupada quotes one text several times in his lectures I've heard. It's from Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 84, Text 13. Yashatma buddhi kunepe tridatuke. We'll translate later on. Swadhi kalata dishiboma ischadi. Yateta buddhi salile nakahiche. Janeshu abigeshu se eva gokara. Talking about exactly what's being talked about here. So yashatma buddhi kunepe tridatuke. The person who thinks that this body is himself. That's the beginning of ignorance. If this body made of three dhatu, kapha, vita, vayu, mucus, bile, and air, that's what this body is constituted of. That's him. Swadhi kalata dishibhoma ishtadi. That they think that their wives and children are their own property. Okay, that's another mistake because they belong to Krishna. Bhoma ishtadi. They think that where they were born is worshipable. I'm American, I'm Indian, I'm attached to the nationality. Swadhi kalata dishibhoma ishtadi. Theater, when they go to pilgrimage places, they don't go with the right consciousness. They go take a Ganga water and say, yeah, that's what we do. So we take Ganga water and pour back the Ganga. No connection with spirituality in it. They go for tourism rather than go to learn what spirituality is. So those kind of people, say Eva Gokara, they are no better than a cow or a donkey. Go is cow and kata is donkey. So that's what Srila Prabhupada is saying. Okay. So that's why that text, every time he talks about people who are going in the wrong direction, he quotes this text. 10:84:13. And so obviously those kind of people don't have much faith. They may pretend to have faith because they've gone to Vrindavan, they've gone to Mayapur, but still they don't really believe, you know, Krishna properly. So they can cite scriptures. So Krishna consciousness, obviously, we cite scriptures to live with it. To live with it. So that's the right consciousness. But there are some people that would recite scriptures to you perfectly, and you pay them because they memorize the Bhagavatam, and you pay them, then it's work for them. That's just a job. That's how they make their money. No spiritual connection in their own lives to what they talk about. Those are the kind of people that they are being talked about here, even though they seem to be people who know about the scriptures. They are faithless persons. They don't live by it. So they're ignorant people. They doubt the revealed scriptures, but they still use it as a recitation to get money like that. There are quite a few of them, not here though, mostly India. So there is no happiness in this world, nor in the next. There was one situation involving Radhanath Swami. He met one of those people. He didn't know that he was one of those people that have memorized the scriptures and preaching. So at that time, he was in the audience. And this person preached, and he sounded like, you know, the best saint ever. Quoting, I mean, wearing the garb, you know, the whole thing. Typical Sahaja, preaching, quoting from different places. Sounded very convincing. So Radhanath was very impressed. But at the end, he went to see this particular so-called sadhu, full of praise for him. And the sadhu advised Radha Maharaj, advised him that This is what you do. You know, then I know, I said, what do you mean? Well, you preach like this, they get impressed, and then they give you money. He's telling the Iskan guru that that's what he should do for money. He said it in a lecture, and that, you know, I heard it, that's how, recorded lecture, literally. He was saying that, I'm looking at the face, I said, yeah, I understand you. Papa never asked you to do something like that. But that guy thinks, well, you know, I do this for a lot of money, so if you look like this, you should do it for money too. Just that kind of advice. Obviously, so-called advice. He's going nowhere, but obviously he's not about to be able to convince Radha Maharaj, a person like Radha Maharaj, to do something like that. So Radha Maharaj made the point to us that there are people, you know, this, just like this is scripture is describing. They don't know what real Krishna consciousness, what bhakti is. They're not connected with bhakti, but still they can impress you. So then Srila Prabhupada says, such persons cannot have any standing in Krishna consciousness. They will fall down. Well, they're pretty much falling down already anyway. They're like that. They're not even connected, much less falling down. But even those who are, and again, I'm not presupposing things about Srila Prabhupada. People do fall down, if they are initially Krishna conscious, and then they commit a lot of aparad, it can cause them to fall down. That also happens. So out of all the above mentioned persons, those who have no faith and are always doubtful make no progress at all. When we come to Krishna consciousness, the first thing out of the processes up to Krishna prema is Shraddha. The very first thing, faith. It's faith that brings people to God. They believe in God. We are fortunate to be connected to God in Krishna consciousness, because bar none, this is the highest place in terms of knowledge of Krishna. Whether you know it or not, if you haven't come to that conclusion, you will at some point. You'll realize that it's higher than anything else that you will see or hear about. The worship is at a higher level. Not too many places you'd go that Krishna has given so much mercy that he would come in a form that you can see. Krishna is spiritual. You normally can't see him with these material eyes. But he's given so much mercy that he's come in a form that you can see. And he is the Supreme Personality of God and owner of all there is. But he come in a small size, on an altar. So much mercy. Owner of everything. Spiritual and material. As he says, everything emanates from me in Bhagavad Gita. To those who are wise, they give all their hearts to me. And here he is, barely 1 foot. And we get a chance to dress him nicely. So much, sometimes we understand how much mercy that Krishna has given just to be a deity for us. Just to be a deity for us. We ought to thank him over and over and over again. The Supreme Personality Godhead looking like 1 foot. Where would you get that? Where would you get that? That kind of mercy. So we take the deity for granted. But so much mercy is there for him to just be like this. He doesn't need to be like, we need him. That's why he's dressed like this. We need him. We sinners that are bound here in the material world, in jail, and he's doing this for us. See how much mercy is there from the Lord? So don't look at him as a picture, reverence. When you're offering obeisance, understand how much mercy is given you in the first place. Understand how much mercy is given you in the first place. Because we don't deserve this at all. We inmates in the material world, we do not deserve this at all. And look how much is given to us. Just a deity alone. Not to mention a mantra, not to mention the other forms of worship. So much is given to us. And then Srila Prabhupada cuts the mantra down from 64 to 16. 25%, 75% off. Where would you get that? Along with this. And that's just two, just deity worship and chanting. And then the hearing on top of it. So many things are there. We pray, they hear our prayers, they help us. Sometimes we don't know what we're doing, but they help us anyway. They direct us in the right place. We are scared of coronavirus. What can Krishna do? I mean, coronavirus, he lifted Govardhan Hill. Who cares about coronavirus? For devotees, nothing. If you're afraid of coronavirus, you're afraid of your own shadow. Let me be direct with you. What can Krishna not do for us? Coronavirus is for those who are karmic, who need to pay a price. Devotees are not part of it. So you simply can't die from it, because Krishna determines whether you die or whether you live. Rake Krishna, Marake, Mare Krishna, Rake Krishna. Don't we know? He decides when you die and when you not live. So this virus is roaming around. The hell you care? But you should prepare yourself, though, because Arjuna didn't get up and just fight. He got training. He got training from Dronacharya. So that part you have to do. You have to prepare yourself. But what's going to happen? That's the least of your worries. You should definitely prepare. If they say quarantine for 14 days, sure. So prepare, make sure you have prasadam for 14 days in your house. That's on you. If you get hungry, it wasn't Krishna's fault. But as far as whether you're going to go or not, these guys don't determine anything. Krishna determines everything for us. So that's the last thing we should worry about, whether we're going to die or not. Preparation, that's on us. So we should do. Now, speaking about this virus, that will tell a little bit about it from a spiritual standpoint. In one sentence, you reap what you sow. We know about karma, right? They won't tell you this in the news. They won't anyway, because they're not spiritual. But something did in fact happen in China. It's not an accident. You know, there's no accident. If China got it bigger, Krishna doesn't just get up and say, China, you guys get more punishment, everybody else get less. There has to be something that happened. So something did in fact happen. But we'll tell you, Krishna arranged for some of us to hear about it. So we'll tell you only, not from a political standpoint, from a spiritual standpoint. One thing happened with the head of state, Xi Jinping. Him. The one guy that's head of state. So he committed a huge apparat. We're talking in devotee terms. Most of the Chinese are not spiritual. They don't even have, as my Guru Maharaj explained it, they don't even have a name for God in Chinese. I didn't even know that. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj told us. There is no name for God in Chinese. So that's how more the ignorance they're in. That's how much they're in. So then the religionists come in there, Christians, they're trying to elevate them a little bit. Not even our Christians, just Christians. I say just because their knowledge is not at the level that we are. As far as, you know, individuals, yeah, they have souls that we all are. We know better than them. But the knowledge level. So this is what happened. A few of them that were Christian were told, obviously if they're Christian, they have Jesus. They have Jesus' pictures and so on in their homes. Xi Jinping told them to put down, take the name of the picture of Jesus off and put his picture there. First huge apparat. So he asked them to replace Jesus' picture with his picture. And they did it, a good many of them. So when they did that, only days after that, there were sinkholes right in the middle of the street. 40 of them in one day. See, we hear the alternative things that they put on, you know, the other foreign countries, their news, they put it on YouTube. So that's how we get to know what that thing happened. So if you're surprised at what I'm saying, that's where I heard it. And they put on two and two together to find out what's going on. Because the main news, they won't tell you these things. They don't really care so much about the welfare of China. America just cares about America. But this is what they did. Huge apparatus towards Jesus. This is how everything started. So they paid a price. First, huge sinkholes. Now I saw a picture, buses, like Greyhound buses, sink into those holes. That's how big they were. In the middle of the street. 40 of them in one day. And the Chinese were scrambling with all their language. So the whole thing was on video. We saw. Right after that, this coronavirus came. So there's the next punishment. So it is a payback. That's why they have it to that extent. We can tell about exactly how it happened too. It came from I won't get into all of that, but you just know. You know that, now you know that it was karmic. It was karmic. That the head of state literally turned the country against Jesus. And Krishna punished them. That's all. That's what they're going through now. So it's not your problem. It's not your problem. So from a spiritual standpoint, Krishna will protect you. That's why there's so little of it in all the other countries. And China got it big like that. Xi Jinping did this. Huge apparat for a whole country. So Krishna punished the whole country. Anyway, let's come back to this. Now you know. You have to be careful. So, men without faith in God and His revealed word find no good in this world nor in the next. For them, there is no happiness whatsoever. One should therefore follow the principles of revealed scriptures with faith, and thereby be raised to the platform of knowledge. Men without faith in God and His revealed word, like Xi Jinping, they find no good in this world, nor in the next. You can imagine how much karma is coming to that guy doing that to the whole country. They find no good in this world, nor in the next. For them, there is no happiness whatsoever. So one should therefore follow the principles of revealed scriptures and thereby be raised to the platform of knowledge. One should follow the principles of revealed scriptures. So this is the antidote. A faithless person should follow the principles of revealed scriptures. His Prabhupada has laid it all out. So many lectures are there. The 10 offenses are there. The regulated principles are there. So there's so much that we can follow in order to be purified. And when you get purified, you become very happy inside from your heart. So we should do this. Follow the scriptures with faith. Shraddha, again, with faith. And thereby be raised to the platform of knowledge. So when a devotee, a person who says yes to Krishna, comes to Krishna consciousness, whatever center they come to or temple, they come with some good level of faith, enough faith for them to leave whatever they're doing and come to the temple. That's there. And then you meet devotees. So you start associating with devotees. That's the next one, Sadhu Sangha. And the devotees, some will help you, and some will also go to a certain extent, because everybody that's a devotee has a certain level of growth, spiritual growth that they have. But if a person is new, even the person that doesn't have that much growth still has a lot to tell. At least you hear in other body, you're the soul, and that we are here in this world, it's jail. This is not our real world, just call it what it is. It is jail. We're supposed to get out of jail and go back to Godhead. And that's what the charges have come. And the latest charger, who is the Jagat Guru, is His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And therefore, His instruction is what everybody is following in order to get back to Godhead. That's what we're doing. We don't really know what we're doing, but we believe in Him. Because the spiritual level, there's so many layers of advancement in there, and many of us haven't gotten anywhere near even the middle, much less the top. But we have faith in Srila Prabhupada, who is at the top, a pure devotee. So we just follow Him. And His disciples, some of them are gurus, they also repeat His word. We follow that. And we keep going, going, going in the, you know, we have the faith that we will in fact be purified, we'll be accepted, mercy will be shown to us at some point, depending on how determined we are and how enthusiastic we are to take to bhakti. That's on us. The rate at which you go, it's on you. If you're more excited and you serve with your heart, you grow more. If you don't do stuff, you're lazy, you don't do much, well, then you're where you are. Nobody, you know, it's on you. That's what it means. The extent to which you surrender, you watch accordingly. You surrender 1%, you get 1%. You surrender 99%, you get 99%. It's on you, basically. So Krishna is sentient like that. What you do, He watches, and then He rewards, but He rewards accordingly. But His accordingly is, He rewards multiples more, though, because He's merciful. So one little thing you do, if you do it with faith and you do it with sincerity, He gives you a lot back. And He'll make you realize that He's giving you a lot back in order to encourage you to do even more. And that even goes for money. If you give some to the temple, remember, if you give some to the temple, you haven't given the money to the president. You give it to Krishna. He only keeps the money, that's all. But it is for Krishna. So if you give to her, and now we have a few temple presidents in my own life, so she will use it in serving. If you don't give much, she can't do much. And so we lose, because she's only a servant. So if you give more, she'll be able to do more. And then you yourself, because you gave more out of your heart, Krishna is not requiring you to give. He owns everything. What you have with you is for Him in the first place. He's just watching how much you're going to give. And how do you know what is for Him? Well, He can take your money from you at any time. You can be poor at any time. You can be rich at any time. He controls that. So obviously what's with you is because of him, they decided to keep you at a certain level of wealth. He can take it from you at any time. So the smart thing is, if you have more, that's the time to give. So he's more pleased with you. And then there's not much of a chance of you becoming poor because he likes the fact that you're donating to him and you're in the right place. He doesn't really need it. He owns everything. He's just watching what you do with what you have. That's all. So if you don't understand it that way and you haven't been giving, how much you're cheating yourselves? I'm just telling you directly. So some of you have a lot of money and don't want to donate, but you're cheating your own self. That's all it is. So now you know. If you don't give, you lose. Krishna's blessings. But if you give, even you have, let me take small numbers, $10 and you give $2. So your math is very good. What's going to be left? $8. Wrong. Now with Krishna, with your math it is. If you give $2 out of 10, in only a matter of time, you'll have $15. Because Krishna will give, remember he gives back? So you will get more. So if you give $3 out of 10, you get 7. Next thing you know, a couple of weeks, you have $21. He will always give back. Because if you love him, he will love you back. So you will see something else happen. So if you want to be a millionaire, start giving more because he will build you up to that level. Next thing you know, you're giving $1 million to Temple of Vedic Planetarium. Just like that. And you'll have some left over. But if you don't want to do it, you'll never find out. Because if you don't give, he won't let you know that he can be like that. Because you yourself blocked it. So you have nobody else to blame. So how wrong it is that he's giving you more and you don't give to him. That's ignorance. It's just plain ignorance on your part that you don't know that you have blessings waiting for you. And you don't want to get it. Well, fine. So now you know. Okay, back to this. Only this knowledge will help one to become promoted to the transcendental platform of spiritual understanding. Only this knowledge, bhakti, will help one to become promoted to the transcendental platform of spiritual understanding. In other words, doubtful persons have no status whatsoever in spiritual emancipation. In other words, those who doubt Krishna, Krishna's devotees, the gurus who are working for Krishna, representatives of Krishna, the devotees, the process itself, the process of service, the bhakti, what you get from your heart when you do service, you doubt all of those, then you have no chance of evolving spiritually. Spiritual emancipation is evolving, growing slowly to a high level. That's called emancipation. Therefore, as Srila Prabhupada would always do, he will tell you what to do. Follow in the footsteps of great acharyas who are in the disciplic succession. Then you'll be successful. Follow the footsteps of great acharyas. Do what they've told you to do. What they told you to do. We can't always do what they do. We can't imitate them because they're at a high level. There's some things they do you won't understand. But when they tell you do something and they do it also, then you know they're teaching you by word and also by example. That you follow. Everything else they haven't told you, you see them do it, don't try to. You see, don't practice this at home. You're not at that level, so you don't do that. But if they tell you chant and they are also chanting, then you chant. But Srila Prabhupada says chant Hare Krishna, but he chants Hare Krishna, you know. So you do the same thing. In fact, we chant along with him to purify the atmosphere. So everything that he wants you to do and everything, how things are like, what is, he explains it. And we're fortunate he explains it in very simple language. It's very easy to understand Srila Prabhupada's lectures. So that even if, the reason is, if one is starting at a low level, they just come into Krishna consciousness, they don't know much, the same lecture will tell them so much about what is. Now, if you go on for a while and your faith increases, the same lecture will tell you more. The same lecture will tell you more. It will tell you now at a deeper level. And when you become more and more and more and more advanced, in that, not advanced because you're high level. Advanced means all your anathas are gone. Now you don't offend other people. The same lecture will take you even a higher level. And the rest of the stories like Mahabharata, they all will take a different level to you. You will understand it in a deeper level. The same things that you've been hearing, Ramayana, all of that, now at that level, when all your offenses are cleared and your simple activities are gone and your simple desires are also gone, You just totally clean them. That's after anonymity. All of these that you've been hearing about, that you've been reading about, that you've been watching, you watch the same thing and now you have a deeper meaning with it. So it becomes sweeter. It becomes sweeter. So what we're saying in so many words is, we got a wonderful thing ahead of us if we would just take the process seriously and begin to shed all of those anathas. First, we have to be humble. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, texts 8 through 12, what Krishna lists, like we call it the qualities of a devotee, he calls it knowledge. He calls it knowledge. And he says, outside of this is ignorance. This is how he put it. But devotees call it the 26 qualities of a devotee. Chapter 13, text 8 through 12. So five texts together like that. The first one is humility. The first one Krishna talked about, Amanidva, humility. So now let's look at some of the aspects of humility. Srila Prabhupada defines in the purport, humility has so many definitions, but the one that he picked, and that's a big one, is that one should not have or think that they should be honored. That one should not enjoy the fact that they are being honored. In other words, people like those who are donating to universities, say a university wants to build a gym and they give $200,000 and he's called Mr. Myers. So they finish and he says Myers Gym. He put his name on there and Mr. Myers is very happy. They're praising me. Now you're not supposed to do that. You may give the money, but you make sure your name is not put there. Because it's not about bragging. Like our current president does so many times with plaza and everything else. His name is on it. Ignorance. Spiritually, it's ignorance. But, you know, materially, we don't care. He's doing what he's doing. Trump this, Trump that, Trump that. You don't do that. You do not do that. This is what Srila Prabhupada is trying to get the honor of being praised left and right here by using his name. So, again, not to knock him. He's doing material stuff. So, they do what they do. Okay, but it's an example because it's quite popular. People know he does that. So you shouldn't clamor for adoration and distinction. That's what it means. So now, Madhu Maharaj gave four principles. The first one very much connects with humility. When a problem arises, we should see it as our fault first. Now, so many times when a problem comes, we're always pointing to the other person. We usually don't say, it's us. It's very hard to say because we're always figuring out how we are right and the other person is wrong. Well, there's a reason why Bhaktivedanta Maharaj put it that way. And that's the next thing. He says, it makes us think of ways to resolve the problem rather than to try to prove that we are correct. See, if you try to prove that you're correct, you're not going to try to resolve the problem. You're going to blame the other person, and then the problem never gets solved. So if you think first, psychologically, you say, okay, let me put myself at fault first. Then you approach it differently. If I'm at fault, then I'm going to see a way to make the other person understand the situation. I certainly won't blame them because I'm saying I'm at fault. How can I blame the other person? So blame is out of the door. So it is strategic. It's a strategic statement. He knows that we don't like to see our fault first. But then if we assume that and accept that, see, we won't blame the other person. So he's a psychologist, so he put it down that way, strategically. See it as our fault first. Because if you see your fault first, now you go, okay, I'm looking at the other person's point of view. That the other person's point of view now becomes important and how to solve it from the other person's point of view rather than ours. That's what it really means. Okay, so he's not asking you to blame yourself. He's just asking you to look at it from the other person's point of view. And you will find that they may have some things that really are important that you never thought of it yourself. Maybe he's even right and you're not right. At first you just thought you were right. Then you found out after talking that you realized that he's got a point and you don't. Or maybe you got a point, but you still heard the other person though. And then you go, well, I got a point, so what should I do? Keep quiet. Keep quiet. Don't bring your point out. Because if you are really correct, Krishna would arrange to point it out to the other person. You don't have to do it yourself. Because if you do it, he'll fight you. Because now you tell him that you're right. So you don't. Krishna does everything. Krishna knows. Paramatma knows what's happened between you and the other person. Understand that. He already knows. So if it is necessary for him to correct it, he'll arrange to correct it. You don't have to do anything. So when I said keep quiet, I meant it. I wasn't messing with you. You keep quiet. Have him deal with it. And if he doesn't deal with it, big deal. He's not going to keep you from going back to Godhead. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. He's not going to kill you. So then somebody was, and you were right. And not. Sometimes it's a test to see if you are blamed. When you are blameless, would you still continue with Krishna consciousness? It's a test. And that's happened to some of us. We're speaking from experience. I got bashed badly in Giranagri. I'm still here. A lot of things were against me. I still had to go on. I have experience about this. Singhatita knows. You know, we just went through all of this stuff. But I'm okay. I'm very happy too. So don't think that you have to fight so much. You don't. Because if you're right, Krishna will help you. He will help you. So we got it made. We just have to, you know, just put the false ego on the side and let Krishna do what he has to do. That's all. So the problem can be resolved by first hearing the person's point of view, which I just said, reading this. And you respond based on that point of view. Later, if we are correct, Krishna will arrange it to reveal it to the other person. Exactly what Bhaktivedanta Maharaj said here, we paraphrased it. Now, the second point in humility. Time is it? You okay still? Okay. Second point. Pray sincerely to your guru if you're initiated. If you're not initiated, pray sincerely to Srila Prabhupada. You see, Jagat Guru for all of us. What do you pray for? You pray for help with our weaknesses. That's very important. You can't go forward in Krishna consciousness when you're weak spiritually. So you pray for help with our weaknesses. So to admit that we're weak, that shows humility. Just admitting that we're weak, I have a problem, and so on. So some of us will actually need literally to sit down. This is Giranagri. And everybody, believe it or not, came up with some of the problems that they had, faults that they had. And the idea was that to put it out so that the devotees would help to resolve that problem. So I have a problem with selfishness, or I don't get up to go to Mangalati. Somebody arranges to call you at that time so you can go to Mangalati. Your problem with selfishness, so something happens and you're showing selfishness, the point is that, remember you said this, that this is what's happening now, so do something about it before it gets worse. So literally we're helping each other like that to grow. So sincerely pray to Guru or to Srila Prabhupada for help with our weaknesses, to admit that we are weak. That's the first sign of humility. Number three, accept that we don't know much of spirituality. And that is huge for people who literally are at the point where they are pundits. They think they know a lot. And how do you think that, or how do you accept the thought that we don't know much? Well, there's reason. But the benefit of doing that, if you say you don't know much spiritual, then you're open to hearing more because you've already accepted that there's more that should come to you. So then you will hear Bhagavatam, you will hear other lectures, everything. Because you have assumed you don't know much. Now, is that assumption correct? Especially if you've read all the books and you think you do remember a lot. You can quote a lot of slokas. I mean, you know, so why would I think that I don't know much? But this is knowledge about Krishna. This is knowledge about, first thing, that's the knowledge about Krishna. Now, Krishna is unlimited. So how much do you really know? Krishna is unlimited. You know a million things? Krishna is unlimited. How much do you know? What is a fraction of a million compared to infinity? Zero. A million divided by infinity is 0.00000. So how much do you know? You don't. It's a fact. You don't. Nobody can know that much about Krishna. It's not possible. So you just muzzle your ego and say, you really don't know. It is true, you don't. Whatever his mercy is, he's told you a little bit so you can understand him. That's all. But to really know him, look at all those people that he associates with the gopis and he thinks that he's been a mode of passion. What the hell do they know? I'm sorry if you use that word. They don't. They don't even understand spiritual sex life. It's not this physical one. And they think that he's taking all of these women First of all, he owns all the women, don't he? He owns everything. So who are you to tell him what to do with what he owns? That already tells you you don't have good sense. This is Krishna we're talking about, not you. You don't have much. He owns everything. Don't compare yourself to him. And then the act itself is not like this material one. So how much wrong people are? So you really have to accept you don't know much, because you don't know the deeper aspects of it anyway. Next one. Don't stop serving because of inconvenience. You kill your own self. Maya gives you a little test. You go, oh, this is happening, that's happening, that's happening. So Madhu Maharaj defined the four kinds of disciples. Now, this one that gives all kinds of excuses, that's the third level. Guru says do this, he goes, oh, but this one happened to me, but I might, you know, I'll give you something crazy. If I go get water, maybe I'll get pneumonia. So there's all kinds of excuses not to do. So we said four levels. So all right, so what's the first and what's the second, since I went to the third level right away? The first level disciple is one that not only serves the guru diligently, but it's even more. He served the guru so much that he knows what the guru is going to expect from one point to another. The guru doesn't even have to tell him. He'll do. Because he's done it so much, he knows. That's first class, first level. Second level, they don't know what the guru wants, but everything the guru tells them, they do. So they're totally obedient. But they don't have the advantage of being able to do some things even before the guru tells them, because they're not in that level. They haven't been around guru. Those who are around guru a lot, they know what to do next. So they obey guru, and they also just set everything up before he even comes. He doesn't have to say anything. That's first class. Second class, they know. Third class is what you heard. Guru says do something, they're giving excuses. That's third class. Then there's fourth class. They don't obey at all. You know, just like, I'm initiated. You're finished with me. I'm finished with you. I'm going on my way. You can't tell me to do anything. Totally gone. Totally gone. They don't obey guru at all. That's fourth class level. So you shouldn't be third class and you shouldn't be fourth class. You should at least, if you don't know what the guru wants, you should at least obey everything they tell you you should do. Then you're second class. And, you know, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, if you get to be around guru more, then you get to know some things that, you know, he expects you to do and other people don't do, so you just do even before he asks you to. That's first class. It doesn't mean you're better. It's just that you know some things. And second and first class are pretty much the same in terms of their consciousness. First class just knows a little more. But third and fourth class, that's apparat, trouble. Apparat starts third class and then worse, a fourth class. Number five, be determined to serve with high quality. Srila Prabhupada has already said this. Everything you do, Krishna consciousness, has to be first class. So then it means that if you could do better and if you don't, Krishna has noticed it. If he gave you the means to do better and you did something lower than you could do, you are in trouble. Even though he will leave you alone for a while. But don't think he hasn't seen it. The deity is there. You serve and you serve piecemeal. You don't serve with your heart. You don't do everything better. Things that you need to wash, you wash them. Everything you need to put in place, you put in place correctly. You know what's to be done and you don't do it. Krishna doesn't miss anything. So you have to be determined to serve with high quality. And if you serve with high quality, then Guru and Krishna are pleased with us. And then you get the whole blessings that you've always been asking for. It will come automatically when you serve. Number six, you don't criticize. There's at least, I've gone to the database, there's so many things against criticizing. I have taken 9 references. If it wasn't that late, I would read all of them. From Bhagavad Gita to Chaitanya Charitamrita, all saying, don't criticize devotees. Don't. You should see the good in people. You should see the good in people. You really haven't said anything new when you criticize. Everybody has faults. You have high nature and low nature. So if you talk about somebody's low nature, have you really said anything new? You haven't. All you've done is just bother them. They already know they have that low nature. So why you bother them with it? They're trying to improve. And you're talking about talking them down when they're trying to be better. So you actually are the troublemaker. You never criticize. You see the good in people. Understand that all people have faults. And so dwelling on the faults will just make them uncomfortable. and you become eternal. That's all that happens. And you won't be happy yourself either, because you're putting out negativity. So negativity comes to you. And you don't understand why you're not happy. We're not happy because you create negativity and it just bounces back at you. That's why you yourself aren't happy. Number 7. Remember, this is about ISKCON. ISKCON is not a society with the majority of devotees being pure. Now, if we were all pure devotees, we should probably need to tell us everything to do this, do that. Pure devotees know that stuff. You don't have to tell them to do things. So yeah, we are already not pure. Many of us, the overwhelming majority. So that's the way it is in the society. So then when somebody does something, yeah, it's bad, but you shouldn't be surprised. If somebody is sick and they act sick, you ask them, why are you sick? They are sick in the first place. Why are you asking them whether they're sick? They're already sick. That's why my guru Maharaj described it. You go to a hospital and people are lying on the beds and you go, whew, everybody is sick. Of course they're sick. What do you expect? We are spiritually sick. We're trying to heal from it. So a person that's sick, all you have to do is understand that they're sick. You don't blame people who are sick. You help them to get better. That's all. So stop blaming people who are sick. You don't realize they're sick. That's your problem. So they are false because they are spiritually sick. Not because they want to do things that are bad. They have to be healed. When they understand what the cure is, the medicine, which is the Shastra and the good living and all of that, they'll get better over time. So, next, don't postpone spiritual activities. The spiritual activities is much more important than material activities. Sometimes we get caught in a situation. There's only so much time, very little time. There's a spiritual thing to do, there's a material thing to do, and you're caught in the middle. And Maya will tell you, the material is more important. Remember, you have to go to work. All of this will give you so many excuses. And usually you fall into that, yeah, I have to get to work at this time. Nobody would know if I didn't do my deity service. It doesn't matter. I work, nobody even knows that I serve the deity, so it doesn't matter. Krishna knows. Krishna knows. And the reason why you should do the spiritual thing is, Krishna has already explained it. Time I am. You're worried about time, but Krishna himself is time. So if you do the spiritual thing, he will adjust the time for you because he owns time. You're too busy thinking with your false ego that you're going to be able to adjust time. No, you can't. Just do the spiritual thing for Krishna and Krishna will take care of the rest. I can literally vouch for this because I live like that. And I'm not bragging. Every time I get to a situation where there should be material and spiritual, then my intelligence speaks to me, we better do the spiritual. You better do the spiritual. You do material, Krishna's not going to help you. You do the spiritual, he's going to adjust it for you, and every time it works. So, the spiritual is important. The material is not even important. It's not. Remember, we have these physical bodies, material bodies. So, we do things material to take care of the material bodies. But are we the bodies? No. This material thing you do, you're just going to die. And this body is going to perish. And if you didn't do the spiritual thing and you did the material thing and the body perishes, what good is it? You could have gained more from the spiritual. You could have gained more from the spiritual and you let the spiritual go and you did the material and now the material didn't get you anywhere because you died. So the material is not important. It's only necessary because we have these bodies. So we have to do the necessary thing for the material life. But spiritual, well, that's what counts when you have to go back to Godhead. That's the only thing that's going to count. So never see that spiritual and material, they don't compare at all. Leave the material. Because if you do the material, you sabotage yourself spiritually. And that's what's important. Number 9, you understand, by the way, there are 11 of them, so we've got to get to the end soon. Understand that when you are uncomfortable in certain situations, you got to take it to mean that Krishna is giving us some tests to learn and grow. Devotees are not under karma. So don't think that negative things that happen to us is because of bad karma. Paramatma has already taken the karma away. So when negative things happen, it's just to cause us to grow, that if you do things like this, if this happens, well, this is what is going to be the result, therefore I should adjust this way and that way. You're going to see that there's some material, some spiritual benefit in it. And therefore, go along with it. Krishna says what? I mean, about Kapanasati. He's already told you that my devotee is not going to be down and out. He's already told you that. It's in the Shastra. So even if you're down, you're not going to be out. Krishna doesn't make us do that. So go through it and learn the lessons, because he won't make you fall apart totally. Kunteya, just tell everybody, my devotee never perishes. That's what you learn in Sanskrit. That's what it means. Number 10. Now, sometimes we face situations with other devotees, and we are uncomfortable with other devotees. So we got problems. And it's been so bad that even to go along, you have to kind of keep a distance between you and that devotee. And it happens. What do you do? Still, even when the problem is not resolved yet, you have to think positively about that devotee. Why? You have a problem with that devotee. But what about the relationship between Krishna and that devotee? Is that bad? Of course not. He's still worshiping, he's still chanting, he's still doing all those things. So who are you to go offend them? So we can't do that. So you still, even though your little problem is there and it's not resolved yet, but remember he's a devotee. So that's more important, the spiritual thing. So you don't go offend. If you do that immediately, there'll be trouble. Bhagavad Gita 9:30, you look at that, that's exactly what it says there. When somebody has fallen and they're still taking the process seriously, you have to treat them as a sadhu. That's why. Because they are still connected with Krishna, so you have no business going to put them down. So that's why you don't do that. So if problems with another body are very bad, and you have even, it's happened so much that you have to put some distance between you and that person, still you have to treat that body with respect. But practically, you keep all conversations short, because you're not really, for you and that person, it's not resolved yet. So you don't go a long thing, because the chances are high you argue again. So everything you have to do, you just say and then finish with it. But you don't think harshly of the devotee. You do not. You certainly have to be nice to them every time you see them. Hare Krishna, Prabhu, you have to say that, because that's your responsibility, no matter how you're feeling. You have to. If you don't do that, you're committing aparadha. So you say that anyway, until Krishna arranges. Just the fact that you say that alone, you're trying hard even though the relationship is not good, that alone will cause Krishna to help you to resolve it nicely. But then if you go about it in a negative way, well, you sit there forever then. With this sour face, and nothing ever gets solved, because you yourself aren't trying to solve it. So you don't think harshly of the devotee because she has faults. Well, she has faults. You also have faults. You both have high nature and low nature. What's the big deal? Yours is different from them, but it's low nature and low nature, different low natures. You both do. So you don't put the other person's down. So what you do is you pray for that person's spiritual growth, and you send him or her positive thoughts. That's what changes the mood, and finally, you will resolve the problem. Krishna will help you resolve the problem if you go about it in a positive way. The last one. The greatest and most humble and by far the most intelligent prayer. The most humble prayer, the greatest prayer, the most intelligent prayer to Guru and Gauranga is to ask them to run your life. You cannot do it better than they can. If you ask them to run your life, and you be prepared to move out of the way mentally. You can't move out of the way physically, but you can move out of the way mentally. Everything, Krishna's mercy. Even the Muslims say, Inshallah, 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 if he's the Lord's mercy. Yeah, they do it. That's why. So we also should do the same thing. Everything is based on what Krishna wants. So Krishna, if it is your will, then let this thing that I'm thinking of manifest like it is. If it's not your will, then let what I'm thinking of change it. My Guru Maharaj says, sabotage it. Don't make it happen. So that way, everything that you think of at work, material, everything, you give it to Krishna's hands. So your first prayer before you start is, for the whole day, Krishna, what I think about should be what you want. So this is how you start your day, before you even start your work. According to what you want. And if I think something you don't want, change it. Okay, so then you're working the whole time, and everything is happening according to what Krishna wants. And if it doesn't work, then you know Krishna didn't want it. Not that you made a mistake. He didn't want it, and he changed it like that. And you keep going, you keep going, you keep going. You won't have any problem. And if you do that, you will be naturally humble. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any questions? Okay. Grantra Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Itai Gaura Premanandi. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.